Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
GR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Oh, yeah, to mention sausage. Let's get some peppers and onions. Oh, yeah, now we're talking. Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince from WNY Athletics. Mr. Kyrie Demos is here. He's sitting in Roger's chair. Roger couldn't make it today. Kyrie from the Niagara Gazette. And we are joined by Matt O'Rourke from WNY Athletics as well, who covers wrestling. And that's exactly what we are going to be talking about today, is wrestling in Western New York. A lot going on today, ladies and gentlemen. Buffalo Bills football today. Playoff football.
Playoffs?
Right here. Playoffs.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I am so excited. I don't know. I'm sure you guys are jacked up as well. You can have all the coverage right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. 11 o'clock, it'll be countdown to kickoff. And of course, at 4:30 is game time. I am so excited about this game. Watching my son bouncing off the walls is amazing. I mean, it was great for me, you know, during the late 80s and 90s. When that Super Bowl team was up and coming, and now I get to watch my son enjoy it. It's great. Lots of fun. So we got to get into talking about this before news and notes, guys. Oh, yeah. What do you think today? What do you think? And Tom, you're not a Bills fan.
I'm not the guy to ask this.
You're an outsider. Okay, we'll say this. You're what, Giants guy?
Yeah, I am. And listen, I understand the Giants have had a horrible year, and I
horrible
get
that. Few years.
So if I look at it from the perspective of, you know, an outsider looking in. The only thing I'm worried about with the Bills this weekend is, are they going to have enough offense to win this game? That's going to be the key. Will there be able to, because could this game turn into a shootout? Absolutely. Is the defense that good for Buffalo that could shut down Houston? Absolutely. We also know Houston is this up and down team. One team, they look like Super Bowl champs. The next week, they look like, you know,
Chumps.
They shouldn't even been in the playoffs.
Right.
That's right.
So it depends what Houston team shows up. They're going to get a huge boost from Watt, too, right?
Even though he's not 100%.
Right. I get it, but sometimes just being there out on the field, dressed, does something for a
sure.
team, right?
And the Bills have to accommodate him into the game plan now, whereas the last couple weeks, months, they haven't had to. So,
that's all the stuff that we don't know. My just question will be, if it's to the point where Buffalo's got to put 28 points or more on the board, can it happen?
Terry, your thoughts?
Very fair points there. And, you know, like you were saying about J.J. Watt, I think that's so valid. Even just his leadership being out there. I mean, he obviously is going to command a lot of attention, regardless of if he's productive or not. So he's just someone now we have to account for. But I totally agree. I mean, it's really just going to come down to, you know, if the Bills can put up over 20 points. You know, I think if they can get to that number, that's always been their magic number this season, and especially under Coach McDermott in general. But I think especially in this matchup, because if you can slow down Houston, if you can contain Hopkins and Watson a little bit, I mean, you really have a strong chance to get it done.
Yep, and that's it. And that running game, because that running game is starting to come alive for Houston, too. It makes that a tough team, because if you do shut down the passing game and that running game goes wild, forget it. But like I said, Buffalo has the defense to do it.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. The question will be is, I just want to see them be able to put points up on the board offensively.
Yeah,
Matt? Yeah, I'm with Kyrie. I think I was watching the videos of Bills Mafia last night. They were bringing the juice last night. I went down to Jacksonville a few years ago, and it was awesome. So I imagine it was the same thing last night in Houston. I think the Bills win. This is the matchup I wanted. I've been saying it for a month and a half now. I feel confident in this. And I want to see, you guys are talking about the skill guys. I want to see our lines dominate, you know, some of our defensive our defensive lineman got rest last week, and I want to see them come out, and Shaq lost, and I really want to see what he can do.
Jordan Phillips.
Exactly, Jordan Phillips. I want to see our offensive line have a good push. I want to see a nice game from Cody Ford. So I'm really excited. I'm going to be watching the trenches a little bit today and see how they, see how far they've kind of what the rest last weekend may or may not have done for them.
Here's the way I'm looking at it. Houston's banged up in the secondary. Mm-hmm. That's going to be an advantage for the Bills' wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're able to take advantage of that. I think the one thing that you look at Houston, they're kind of weak against the run. Mm-hmm. So we could see a big day from Singletary where you don't need mm-hmm. Josh Allen to carry the load. And Josh could run as well, too.
Right.
All right. We've seen the Bills' defense shut down the mobile quarterback. If you can slow down Lamar Jackson and hold him to what it was under 200 yards.
Yeah.
You can shut down anyone. Mm-hmm. The Bills do a tremendous job with their front in containing. They don't over rush. They know their roles. They fill their gaps. So I think containing Watson will be something they can do. My worry as you guys brought up, is Houston's running the ball. Mm-hmm. The Bills have had, whenever they've lost, they have surrendered big chunks of yards on the ground. If they can stop the ground game, I think Buffalo comes out on top. You guys are saying J.J. Watt's going to be out there, and he's definitely going to be an emotional presence for the team. Yeah. But that's going to wear off in the first quarter. I don't think he's 100%. Losing or not having Fuller out there is going to allow the Bills to be able to double up on Hopkins. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about him, although I think he may be the best receiver in football.
Yeah, it's a fact.
His ability, I mean, he could catch, if it's anywhere in the stadium, he's able to catch it. He's just absolutely amazing. But he's also given the Bills secondary a lot of motivation and locker room fodder with his comments during the week.
I'll take Tre'Davious White on anybody, too.
Hey, that's two first-team All-Pros going up against each other,
too. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing battle. I think the Bills come out on top. I'm looking at a 20-17, 20-13 game. Okay. Buffalo Bills win.
Sure.
If they can run the ball, you can notch it up for Buffalo.
See, that's it. That's the recipe for the Buffalo Bills win. A low-scoring affair. Your defense has stepped up. You're not worried about your offense to do too much. That's the game Buffalo needs to win.
Yep.
Third down
conversions, man.
Yeah, I really truly think, too, the Bills have an identity. You know what they're trying to do. Play good defense, run the ball. Let Josh make a few big plays. The Texans have been so up and down, it's almost like, where do you expect them to be identity-wise?
I've seen them look so ugly against the Titans, who I don't really think is that great of a team.
And Ravens, too. That was their worst game.
Oh, my
goodness. Then they beat the Patriots on primetime. It's like, what team is this?
And also, though, this for Houston, to flip it, I also believe that coach is on the line here, right?
That's true.
Houston goes out early. This is also a lot of pressure on Houston, where you could be talking about a coach's job on the line boot if they don't win this, because they've gone to this point too many times and not been able to get over the hurdle.
Right. Good point. All right. Well, you're going to want to keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 all day for your Buffalo Bills coverage. I know, as Van Miller would say, it's fandemonium. I miss those days. All right. Let's get into news and notes. Tom.
Yeah, so I've got a chance last night to do basketball and got some great interviews last night. If you take a look at Twitter, go to West WNY Athletics, you'll see some great interviews. But last night, Coaches versus Cancer is going on at DePue High School.
That's right.
Got a chance. Players of the game in the first game watched a great game. Niagara Wheatfield versus DePue goes into overtime. What a game it was. Players of the game in that game, Christian Pagano and TJ Robinson for Niagara Wheatfield. TJ Robinson went for 30 points in that game. He was on fire from three-point land, is exactly what I was going to say. He just was unbelievable shooting the ball. And not to boot, if you notice, he actually had his wrist all wrapped up. So he had a little bit of an injury, too. Didn't let him hurt him out there. He was awesome. Game two was, unfortunately, not a close game. It was Lewiston Porter wins big over Will South. But I'll tell you right now, Roddy Gale scores a 1,000 point. He really is a game changer out there for those people in Western New York. But this is why. Because of what he can do on the boards as well as what he can do scoring-wise. Mm-hmm. Because every time Will South came down and there was a missed shot and didn't score, Roddy goes up above everybody, right. Gets the rebound. It's one time that you're able to go down the court, and then he's on fast break with his team on the other side.
Rebounds is so important in basketball.
But he was giving his team just the opportunity to be able to go right down, and Will South would only have one opportunity to score each and every time up and down the court. But I'll tell you, Will South, Michael DiGiulio,
he's a problem.
He can shoot, man. That kid is legit. And his younger brother, who's coming up, boy, point guard Nicolio DiGiulio, he's only a freshman out there. But boy, I love this kid's game. I love what he brought to the game. I love the way he sees the court. He fits the ball into the smallest places. This kid's a legit point guard that we're going to hear about in the future. I love what I saw there. Then the last game, which was another phenomenal game, was Lockport with a big win over Amherst. I definitely have to call that an upset, probably the biggest upset there. Brings NFL to 3-0 over ECIC. But Lockport wins 67-63, and player of the game, Keon McDowell. This kid, 5'6", and he plays like he's 6'5" out there on the court. I'll tell you, his vertical was unbelievable. This kid was so much fun to watch, and I'll quote him from the interview. It's heart over height is what it is.
I like that.
But a great games. There'll be more games today over at DePue, but the first day of Coaches versus Cancer, there were some great matchups there, and it was real fun to watch.
Yeah, big shout out to Roddy and Keon. I've known Roddy's family since he was a little kid, and I've known Keon since he was a little kid. I know he's still a little kid. but in all seriousness, though, with Roddy, he's almost like the perfect size to be playing high school basketball in this area. You know, 6'4", you know, that much athleticism. I mean, he can play the 1 through the 3 if you really need – the 4 in a pinch if you really need him to. But, you know, back to Keon, to see what he's been doing in the last few weeks. I mean, he had a 20-point first half in the Clarence Holiday tournament, follows that up with a 34-point game, follows that up with a 28-point game last night. So, you know, big shout out to him and the Lions. You know, I always got to keep a watchful eye on my Lions. But, you know,
I mean, literally, he's a 5'6 point guard, right?
Yeah.
That played down low in the blocks, in the zone, and was still getting the rebounds, doing all the things that was necessary for his team to win. And, you know, he said it. I said, listen, I go, you cannot tell me it's normal for a 5'6 guy to go down low. And he goes, I told Coach, if we go to a 3-guard set, put me down low, I'll get you the bounds. And he did exactly that. He got them key rebounds. And why it was so key, his rebounds would lead into quick, fast break points because he would then go right to the point guard position and then be able to go right through through the fast break and go right through what was a full court press at the time. Right. So, I mean, really give him a lot of credit. He was one of the biggest reasons why Lockport ended up having a big win last night.
Sure. Great stuff, Tom. Great stuff. We have to give a shout out, our thoughts and prayers to Benji Blumen, basketball referee, Riverside class of 1963, Buff State class 1967, Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. Benji needed some medical attention last week, and thankfully there were people on hand who were able to give it to him. So Benji, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Hope you're feeling better. Also, a couple of big coaching news that has hit in the last couple of days. St. Joe's parting ways with Coach Landry, so they are now looking for a football coach. In fact, it's funny, a friend of mine sent me a message. He says, hey, I'm interested. I said, contact them. Maryvale, Jeff Bucciari stepping down. A big surprise, but he said he wants to spend more time with his family, and I could tell you I can't blame him one bit. I've always said and made it my kids a priority. I had a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago, and I said, you know, look, I could go out and get another job, supplement the income, do that whole thing. But I remember as a kid, my dad was never around. He worked and worked and worked. I don't want my kids to go through that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, put my kids first, and I think it's very important to spend as much time with your family as possible. We only have one life to live, guys.
No doubt about it.
So can't blame him. Best of luck to Jeff, and best of luck to Coach Landry and to St. Joe's as they look for a new coach. All right, G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to livefit.com. And this week's winner, Iroquois wrestling coach Jim Clock, 5-0 Grand Island Duels, 18-2 overall. They've defeated 5 ranked teams. What a program they've got going on there. I told you several weeks ago about a modified wrestler who's up and coming in the Iroquois program, Jake Burke. I watched a video of him with, you know, had a pin within like 43 seconds. Really impressive. And Iroquois had a history of great wrestling.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I go back to my buddy John Mariocker, who's in the Iroquois Hall of Fame.
The Slade family.
The whole family. Yep. You know, you can put the whole Mariocker family out there. Tremendous wrestling
That's a
program.
Tremendous, tremendous history there. One of the blue blood programs in Western New York. And just a quick correction, that's 5 ranked teams that they beat in one day, back to back to back. We got plenty of wins this season, but that's 5 ranked teams they took down, one after another, including Brockport, who's a Section 5 powerhouse, and Fredonia, who's the number 3 seed at the dual meet tournament today. So they may meet up again in the semifinals if they both make it.
Very impressive stuff going on there.
And Jim is took over this year. He's the first-year head coach for his alma mater, so he's doing a fantastic job down there.
Yeah, we talk about programs in Western New York, in all the sports, and Iroquois is one of those programs where you're always going to look at them as towards the top in wrestling.
That's right.
All right, let's get into wrestling talk since we have started that. And Matt, you cover wrestling for WNY Athletics. Mm-hmm. Let's get up to speed as to what's going on.
All right, Tony. Well, today is the Section 6 Dual Meet Championships. It's the 4th one. Last year was the 3rd one, the one that got canceled, unfortunately, due to the weather. It was the and there wasn't really any time to make it up. So the section and the wrestling committee moved the date up about 2 or 3 weeks, I think. It usually is, you know, the second to last week in January it's been so far. So they moved it up a few weeks to accommodate for weather purposes. So it's going off without a hitch. I was there last night checking it out, helping a little bit with the setup, actually. I will be heading right over there after this. Tom's actually going to come and help do a little wrestling stuff today. Frank Wolf is going to be there. We're going to be live streaming the finals at 4:00.
Think you guys should get Frank out there wrestling.
Yeah, I think so too.
Frank is a former high school wrestler.
Yeah,
he is a 3-year former high school wrestler. Yes,
old man division. There's old man division.
The senior division.
No weight class division.
Oh, that's awesome.
So anyway, we're going to be doing the live streaming the finals of 4. I'm really excited about it. You know, the duels is one of my favorite things, and I've tried to.
Well, first of all, explain the difference for our listeners out there who are not familiar with wrestling, the difference between duels and...
Okay, so a couple of years ago, other parts of the state have had dual meet championships now for the better part of 30 years, independently within their own borders of, you know, where it didn't matter. They took the top 16 teams who applied to get in for it, no matter big school, small school, whatever, and it was really exciting. Personally, when I was in high school, where I'm from, I was able to be a part of that, and it was the coolest thing ever. So the state, a handful of years ago, decided, why don't we do this as a collective thing instead of, you know, Glenn Irving at New York State Sports Writers Association basically had his team rankings, and that essentially crowned the state champion team for a number of years. So now there's a true dual meet tournament event. It started 3 years ago. Section 6 started doing it 4 years ago to kind of get a year of experience under everybody's belt, and it went off like a smashing hit. Niagara Wheatfield was the first champion 4 years ago in Division 1, and Pioneer was the first champ in Division 2. So to get into it, you have, you know, there's certain qualifying criteria as determined by the section, and there's a seeding mechanics and all this stuff found in the Section 6 Wrestling Handbook. They take the top 8 teams in big school, the top 8 in small school. They put them together and seed it in a bracketed tournament that goes on in one day. So Wheatfield and Pioneer were the first winners. 3 years ago, Lancaster was the champion. They're the number 1 seed again today, and I have them as my favorite right now. I did my predictions. They came out yesterday afternoon. I have them as the champion right now, and then Falconer won 2 years ago. They went back to the state tournament last year as the first seed, and they went by default because of the weather issue. And I have them as they're the first seed today, and I have them as my favorite to win again today.
So Matt, wouldn't it be the best way to explain this is it's a team event.
Yep.
What you're going to do is you're going to have every weight class go at each other in a team event. So it'll be Lancaster versus the 8 seed,
who is Williamsville North East first round.
And then what they'll do is just every weight class go at each other, just Lancaster and Will North. That's when they're done, they'll go to the 2-7 seed. This is a strictly team event, even though you are just going to wrestle at your weight class, but you're going to wrestle multiple times today.
Right.
For your team against one other person at that other school.
That's right. It's a 15-on-15 dual meet. So it's just like if two teams show up on a Tuesday night in a regular ECIC match, it's 15-on-15. No, I don't think they're going to do exhibitions. Probably not for time purposes. Right. But it's a dual meet championship, and it's seeded and bracketed just along those lines. So if Lancaster wins first round, they'll wrestle the winner of the 4 and 5 seed.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, get us caught up to what programs are doing well, who we should go out and check out. If you're a big wrestling fan, these are some of the teams and wrestlers. Let's get to know some of the wrestlers as well. Don't forget Buffalo Bills coverage all day right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 starting at 11 o'clock, Buffalo Bills game day. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
After this, we're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Kellinger, along with Tom Prince and Matt O'Rourke from WNY Athletics, Kyrie Demo from the Niagara Gazette. We are talking wrestling, but our minds are also on the Buffalo Bills today. I can't wait. 4:30 kickoff. Let's go, Bills. All right, Matt, let's get back into wrestling. Get us up to date on some of the programs that are really doing well. We mentioned Iroquois and Lancaster so far. We've talked about duels. Let's get to know the programs and some of the wrestlers in Western New York.
Okay, great. Well, let me run down... I'll run down my most recent rankings this week. In big schools, it really hasn't changed a whole lot this year. Lancaster, Wheatfield, Clarence, Niagara Falls, Hamburg, Will North, Frontier, Star Point, Grand Island, St. Joe's, and then for honorable mentions right now this week, Orchard Park and Amherst, and then in Division II, Falconer, Iroquois, Fredonia, Newfane, Pioneer, Portville, Chautauqua Lake, Lakeshore, Southwestern, Albion, and my honorable mention in small schools is East Aurora. The eight Division I participants for today are all in the top nine of my most recent rankings. All of them, except for one team, has had a full lineup all season, and the one team that hasn't has had maybe one forfeit here or there. So that should be very, very competitive, very exciting. The top five teams in small schools in my rankings also exactly reflect the seeds. They've been very competitive in everything they've done. Falconer, Iroquois, Fredonia, Newfane, and Pioneer have just beat up on each other. They beat up on everybody else that they've wrestled or been extremely competitive. I mean, you got Newfane, who's 14-3. They go and win the Linda Canutolo Memorial Tournament, which was 30 teams deep against, you know, with teams like Lancaster and Niagara Wheatfield there. Iroquois, small school, takes second at it. I mean, Falconer goes to Section 5 last weekend. Letchworth over the break. They go 9-0 in 2 days, beating probably for the second time the team who's probably going to win the Section 5 dual meet title in small schools. I mean, Pioneer went to Holly and dominated everybody last weekend, and they haven't wrestled a ton, so they should be well rested going into today. They scored no less than 64 points in their five meets duels that they won. Some of the results from the small school teams, for Falconer, Fredonia, Newfane, and Pioneer all wrestled each other at Pioneer December 13th and 14th. And the results from there, just like, it was outstanding wrestling. I mean, Falconer kind of dominated everybody, but Newfane escaped Pioneer with a one-point win. Orchard Park had Newfane on the ropes with two matches to go, and Newfane ended up winning that one. I mean, it was really cool to see and watch. Fredonia was there, squeaking out wins over some of their small school contemporaries. So, it's just been an all-around awesome year so far. I'm noticing a lot of really cool trends as well. The forfeits, I think, in my opinion, I don't have a ton of statistical information, but I look at the results as they come out every night, and I'm seeing less forfeits.
Is that usually because of injury or illness that you're getting forfeits?
Well, I mean, we'll see in the second half of the season, because the attrition rate, you know, obviously fluctuates as the season goes on, and weight cutting and people just get tired of it and stuff. But the first half of the season, I've been really excited to see really improved numbers in both big schools and small schools. The league races right now are super tight. In ECIC 1, there's three teams with 3-0 ECIC 1 records. Sorry, ECIC 1, there's three teams with 3-0 ECIC 1 records. So that's going to come down in the home stretch. Star Point leads in ECIC 2 with a 3-0 record, and Pioneers second with they're 2-0. And obviously all these teams are at double-digit wins as well, so it's very competitive.
Well, this time of year, we're more focused on team wins, and then when we get closer to springtime, then we're more concerned about individuals who are going on to states?
I'd say that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, because this weekend is the Section 6 duels. The Section 5 duels are this week. During the week, they kind of stagger theirs. I'm not sure when the Section 3 and 4 duels are coming up, but in the next 2 weeks, you'll see all the dual meet tournaments kind of wrap up. I know Section 9 has been kind of going back and forth on different weeknights. They do like a seeding thing where the higher-seeded team, like Port Jervis, for example, will host whoever the 8th seed is. It's up to the sections to do it their own way, to qualify somebody for the state tournament. But the state tournament is February 1st. In Syracuse at SRC Arena at Onondaga County Community College. I will be there again for that. Once that kind of wraps up, I would say, yeah, it's fair to kind of for everybody to collectively turn the page a little bit and focus on the individual stuff. But, I mean, the weigh-ins matter at this point. You know, this is a state and section level event, so the weigh-in counts today, but it doesn't count against their points. So that's nice for anybody looking to get weigh-ins at their lower weight after Christmas because of the 2-pound allowance.
Are they are wrestlers you know, jumping weight classes, just seeing how they do, you know, at one weight? I'm gonna drop down, maybe I think I could do better at this weight, didn't like that. Yeah. So I go back up.
That's right, but the way that the certification kind of policy changed, I'm not sure how long ago, but they went from minimum certified weight class to minimum certified weight.
So you have to have X amount of matches at a certain weight.
I don't want to say off the top of my head because I'm not totally sure.
Okay.
By the end of the season, for your minimum weight class that you want to go, for the weight class that you qualify for, you have to have a certain percentage of weigh-ins for that weight class.
Because I brought it up, Kyrie, you and I had a conversation, I don't know if within the last couple of weeks, about the McDougal at Niagara Falls and wrestling at different weights.
Well, you've seen probably them, Kyrie, fluctuate, especially before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Willie probably mostly at 152
at the most,
and then Justin probably mostly at like 145. They've wrestled now after Christmas at 145 for Willie and 138 for Justin. So that's going to be big for them because those two are state title contenders.
Mm-hmm.
And where those two have waited now after Christmas is going to affect wrestlers across the state.
Mm-hmm.
In big schools, because Justin and Willie are certifiably state title contenders. I mean, Willie's already won a state title.
Right.
So,
yeah, as a sophomore. Yeah, and just speaking of mm-hmm. those two, you know, both of them 200 win club guys now, two cousins, and, you know, two guys that, like you said, you know, the weight fluctuation is going to play a huge thing across the state. We actually talked about this a little bit, too, with Newfane's Andy Luzinski, who,
mm-hmm.
Who's fluctuating between 113 and 106 right now, and it's like, you know, especially for a smaller guy like that,
right?
That really changes.
The weight has everything to do in the lowest weights. For Andy, it's nice because he's placed in the state twice in 99 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking this week, actually, Kyrie and I, and the young man that beat him in the state final is also down to 101 now. So Kyrie's like, why doesn't Andy stay up? And I go, well, think about it this way. The weight is a big deal when you're 113 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at some of the other guys, and I'm sure that Newfane knows better than I do, but it seems like a lot of the other contenders that placed in the state last year
mm-hmm.
are still wrestling at 113.
Right.
So it's like, do you want to maybe not get back to the final, or do you want to at least take a shot at Schaefer from Palmyac? Assuming fingers crossed here, assuming that's how it works out.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how people play those games. You see it a lot when you have state championship title contenders. You see it a lot when their coaches are always trying to gobble up the information from around the state, like who weighed in where, who wrestled at what weight.
And do the coaches kind of guide the wrestlers, like, you know, I think you're better off if you're up this weight, or I think you're better off going down.
That's 100%.
Okay. Yep.
For sure. Yep. Yeah. And I think it really plays a factor into, you know, how a guy's like wrestling style really comes along. Like, for example, you know, a guy like Blake Bielik, who was competing at 220, you know, he's down right now. So this is probably a more natural weight for him. Whereas, you know, if he was carrying a little bit extra, he probably could go to 285. But he's really outmatched at that point. He's just really like,
he's not as tall as a lot of 285 pounders you're going to see at the state tournament. Because, you know, you get to the state tournament and a lot of guys, some guys, not, I won't say a lot, I say some guys have to cut weight to get to 285.
Right. Does the height make a difference because of arm length?
Yeah, it does. I mean, a couple years ago, Lewiston had a state champion, Leith Alsous, who was fourth in the state, and then he also won a state title. And I remember him watching the he wrestled the defending state champion from who was from my high school, and he took him apart. His arms were just so much longer. He had a big height advantage on him. He had a big weight advantage on him. Leith had to cut a little bit of weight, and it worked out completely in his favor. He locked up a state championship that way, you know?
Yes. So
it's great. Wrestling's great. There's a spot for everybody. There's a spot for Andy Luchinski at 100 pounds. There's a spot for Leith at 285, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and it really goes to, it really is, like we were saying, you know, a numbers game. You know, I saw Jaden Hears in that NCCC tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy who, you know, 285 pounder state rep last year. You know, he struggled. He had to go up against Ryan Bicca from Amherst, who's more of a 285 pounder when you think of the
some big boys.
Big boys.
I would say that's fair.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Jaden is almost like wrestling up to be in the 285 weight class, whereas Ryan's coming down to be in the 285 class. So
yeah.
Nice. Okay. So we've got right now, you just went through all your large schools and small schools. Mm-hmm. I saw your predictions right now that you've got right now for the Lancaster duels.
Yep.
You have them literally coming through seed come through. I don't think you had an upset in your seeds on the large schools at all.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So tell us who we should look out for that could possibly still pull an upset in those duels of those eight teams that are out there.
First round, Niagara Falls and Frontier. I had Frontier squeaking by them. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those teams won, but my gut feeling was that Frontier might win that match. Niagara Falls has been excellent so far this year.
Coach of the Week.
He's doing a great job.
They upset Niagara Wheatfield.
They beat Niagara Wheatfield. They lost a ton. You know, I wasn't sure what they were going to look like this year, to be honest. They lost a ton of seniors last year.
Lost
Joe Dixon, who went to Canisius, who's having a great season for the Crusaders in wrestling now. But, you know, I wrote that Niagara Falls is well coached in my preseason article, and guess what? I'm proven right once again.
Yeah.
So they are well coached.
Go Matt.
I mean, it's true.
Can Niagara Falls go all the way? Can somebody upset Lancaster?
Niagara Falls would have to beat them if they both were to win their first round. They would have to wrestle Lancaster in the semifinal. I don't see that happening, but you know, it's wrestling. Anything can happen. So I'm not going to ever say, you know, that can't happen.
But is Lancaster that much of a favorite versus everybody in your eyes right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say yes. I think Lancaster lower, you know, they're from 113 pounds to 152. They may not have someone as talented as, say, Justin McDougald, who they may wrestle in the final. Mm-hmm. But I think that their guys are good enough to win matches that they need to, that are toss-up matches. They're good enough to not get pinned when they're overmatched. Mm-hmm. And their upper weights are wrestling lights out. Their upper weights are led by Ryan Stenzel, who's a three-time state tournament rep, took fifth in the state last year. He's a 152. He's not 152. He's wrestled anywhere from like 170 to 182. He's an absolute hammer. Mm-hmm. And then you have right after him, you've got all sorts of guys that played football for the Legends.
Well, you just brought up something, and I've been meaning, I wanted to throw this in today because I just find it kind of interesting that we're talking wrestling on a day Buffalo Bills are playing. Sean McDermott is a former wrestler, and football coaches love wrestlers.
Love wrestlers.
Well, look, Harrison Phillips, right? He's a two-time state champion from
I didn't know that.
Nebraska. Yeah, he was one of the he was the guest speaker at the really nice awards banquet that the DiPaolo family puts on every year. Him and Bud Carpenter and all the a lot of the old
of course Bills DiPaolo's personalities, huge wrestling supporters.
Of course they were. Yeah, they shout out to them. They do a lot to help support wrestling around here. Really great and really kind to me when I show up there as well. So But yeah, they're huge wrestling supporters. And yeah, Harrison Phillips is a great wrestler. There's other wrestlers, you know, guys who wrestled in high school on that roster as well. But
so many college coaches are out there. They're looking for football players. They play wrestling. Yeah,
loves them.
A lot of them say the line play equates to a lot of people wrestling. Pioneers turnaround again the last couple years. Look at their line play, right? That's been something that they've done, and they've equated it to a lot of wrestlers that are out there. Look, we're talking about Iroquois right here. Coach just got recognized here as Coach of the Week. Iroquois is a constant perennial powerhouse when it comes to football. And again, equate it to the line play, equate to a lot of things that happen to people that are doing it on the wrestling
mat. Was it, did I read, Riggleman?
Riggerman,
wasn't he a wrestler?
Yeah, he was. He took fourth in the state, and then he was a state champion, undefeated last year. Yeah,
and great in football, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them turn. Orchard Park, Pataki, who's done.
Pataki's a section champion. He's a returning section champ. Robbie Penhollow, who was a state champion at Falconer last year, plays Division III football at Ithaca College. He was first team all state linebacker in Class C last year.
Is it because you're learning leverage in wrestling, and that's what gives you maybe, I don't want to say a leg up, but it prepares you for football?
Do you think, Kyrie?
I feel like that's a part of it. I think another thing is just the regimen that wrestling puts your body through. I
mean, quickness of the hands, things like that.
Well, that, but just the day-to-day, daily routine. Like, the thing about football, I always told people this, why I chose basketball over wrestling was because, you know,
Coach Scapoletti's gonna be mad at you.
I know.
He wants to hear your excuse for
I know, it's funny. My older cousin was a state champ wrestler too. Honestly, like, the thing with wrestling is you have to every single day be focused in on, you know, what you're eating and just everything, just your weight and how it fluctuates, how you got to keep yourself down, if you are a smaller guy trying to get yourself back up, you know, just the way that you have to regiment yourself every day, it really just prepares you mentally, but physically too. I mean, the rigors of you know, being a wrestler. I mean, it's not like, you know, hey, coach called a play, called three plays to the other side of the field, and I'm not really in the action. Like, no, on the mat, you have to. It's you and the guy across from you, and that's about it. You know, there's no running or hiding. So it really, I mean, it develops a physical and mental toughness that just will prepare you for a lot of things, but especially football.
Well put.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, one final segment. Talk a little bit more about the programs and some of the top wrestlers in the area. Don't forget, Countdown to Kickoff follows us at 11 o'clock. I know I can't wait for the game. I want to be plopped on that couch screaming and yelling with my son and my wife, and oh, it's going to be great. Buffalo Bills all day long right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll be back after this. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. We're talking wrestling with Matt O'Rourke from WNY Athletics. Monsignor Martin, what's going on with the, I mean, you mentioned Joe's earlier, but get us up to date as well on Monsignor Martin.
I'm glad you asked. Right now, Joe's is the only team in the league with a league win because they just schedule-wise haven't had a ton of matches, and weather has also affected them a little bit. So I've got them as my 10th. ranked team in Western New York, big schools right now. They're 1-0 in the league, 6-7 overall. And 6-7, don't get fooled by that. They have put together an absolutely ridiculous schedule in the first half of the season for themselves in terms of dual meets. They went to Pennsylvania, they went to Erie, to McDowell, which is one of their big rivals in football, I know. Cathedral Prep. That's where they went. They went for a dual meet tournament down there. I saw some great teams. They went to Cheektowaga Warrior Duels, which had some awesome teams. They've wrestled Spencerport twice.
Who's
a powerhouse in Section 5.
Yeah.
So they have, and their new head coach this year, Pete Kennedy, after last year, of course, stepped down. We all know that. So Brad Devlin took over. He's a St. Joe's alum. His brother, you might remember, was a 3-time state champion at Amherst High School. So they're having a great season. Ben Parrish and Ronnie Jones right now are the team leaders for them. They're both having excellent seasons. Jones is a returning Catholic high school state finalist. Parrish was fifth last year. Jones is looking to become the first state place winner. I mean, I'm you know, all of them are, But the last guy to win a to place in the state tournament from St. Joe's from the combined federation tournament was his brother, and I believe that was 6 years ago. They'll probably correct me if I'm wrong, but his brother Richie was the last one to do it from St. Joe's. Canisius is having they're off to a decent start. They're 6-5 right now. They've been competitive. They picked up Joe Dixon, who of course we all know
from Niagara Falls.
Right. Had an excellent football season. Is having a fantastic wrestling season. Ours a couple guys like Luke Bridges for them. And Brandon Vandenberg. St. Mary's is having an excellent season with the two brothers, the twins, Matt and Zach Ash, are having outstanding seasons for them. St. Francis is down a little bit. They lost a ton of seniors last year, but they're well coached. Coach Masor's been there a really long time. They will be back at some point. And then the Gow School, I want to mention, full lineup.
Really?
Full lineup. That school put together 15 young men on a lineup, 15 young wrestlers on a lineup.
Cool.
This year. After them. I've seen some results of theirs, you know, of where they have two wrestlers in a lineup and give up a ton of forfeits and whatever.
Right.
They put 15 wrestlers in a lineup.
That's how you grow it.
If a school with of their speciality can put and the enrollment size that they have can put 15 wrestlers on a mat, I think anybody should be able to.
Outstanding.
Exactly. So,
100%. Outstanding. Yep. What about returners in Western New York?
So returners in Western New York right now, there's a great handful, especially in Division I, who are returning place winners, who are hopeful for state championships. I'm hopeful that we can get one, maybe two, maybe more this year. I think they're capable of it. Willie McDougall from Niagara Falls, of course, is, I wrote a few weeks ago, broke their school record for wins from Irvin Buck, who was a state finalist 10 years ago. Willie's on his way to another state championship, hopefully. Excuse me. He's a state champion, a finalist, and he placed before that, so he's a three-time place winner. His cousin Justin's a two-time finalist and a fifth-place winner. Also joined the 200-win club at Niagara Wheatfield, his brother, and then 2010 state champ Angelo Mavistuto. So there's three of them in that 200-win program. Grand Island's Adam D'Agostani was fourth in the state last year, has been on an absolute tear so far this year. Total physical specimen, really fun to watch. He's hopeful to become the Vikings' first state champion. In program history, Ryan Stensel from Lancaster is hopeful to become their first state champion since 1986, if you can believe that. All the great wrestlers they've had, yeah. They've been as champions since 1986.
I wanted to add, D'Agostani's actually close to becoming the Vikings' all-time wins leader, too.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Congratulations to him.
Yep. Yeah, so, and then in small schools lost a handful of returning place winners to graduation. Andy Luchinski is a state finalist. He's hopeful to win it this year. Who else? So, I mean, and then Dalton Gardner down at Fredonia was fourth in the state. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to return this year, unfortunately. He's injured, so I guess we'll have to see about that. But
any new names making waves this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places where guys fill in, where seniors have moved on, or where the returning champion has moved on in weight or whatever. So there's a ton of weight classes where it's basically anybody's game at this point. That happens a lot, I think, in the lower weights because guys tend to fluctuate and move up a little bit in weight. In 99 pounds, for example, it's always going to be young guys. It's always going to be light young guys. So I think with Luchinski moving up, his teammate Aiden Gillings is having a great season. He might end up being at the top of the Division II podium. Within their league, a young man from Barker, Royalton, Heartland, Gavin Cifarella might be his as well. I know they've wrestled already this season.
Yeah.
And then you have a ton of returning section champions who didn't place at states or guys that have been there a couple times. Like Williamsville North has two returning champs with Mike Catanzaro and Cam Catcherbone, who were both section champs last year. Unfortunately, they missed placing in the Division I tournament. Aiden Rabideau from Clarence has been there three times. He hasn't yet placed. But he's a two-time section champ. In Division II, you've got, Jaden Hears from Newfane's a returning sectional champion. Jason Frazier from Tonawanda is a section champ, good football player as well, like we talked about. So,
do you see much where a wrestler makes that big leap? Like, it's his first year wrestling, and he kind of struggles, but then all of a sudden it just clicks the following year, or maybe he hit that growth spurt and got stronger, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, here I am on the scene.
That right there is like, that's when you know that somebody put in the work in the off season. Yep. That's right there, case in point of off-season work, of guys that aren't normally the most athletic. They may not be the best on their team. They may not have been the best. But all of a sudden, senior year comes around, junior year comes around, they're undefeated. They're kicking everybody's butt. You know, that's clearly somebody bought in the offseason and did some weight training or did whatever they had to do to get in the lineup and to be a key piece. So
one thing I've noticed is youth movement in wrestling. What do we have in our backyard? The Power Cats?
Power Cats.
Where, you know, I've got several kids that I've coached in football who are big into wrestling. And, you know, you're asking, what do you do? Well, I wrestle. And you constantly hear about that Power Cats program.
Yeah.
programs like that, is that becoming more popular?
Well, that one's a unique example because of the history there. I've been to that club in Niagara Falls. I've been there, and they have years upon years worth of equipment and investment. And, you know, it's cool. I was walking around there with Coach Sweeney a couple of years ago, and he's like, yeah, these are the old mats from LaSalle High School or the old Niagara Falls High School. I was like, well, I didn't even know what that was. You know, to start with.
Right.
So, and then you got clubs everywhere. You know, you got the Cobra Club, you've got Lake Erie Wrestling, Legacy Wrestling in Jamestown. So,
yeah,
it's huge. Wrestling off-season circuit is huge.
Some kids from Niagara Falls, they were even competing in the New York Wrestling Association for Youth, and a couple of those kids were state champs and things like that. So, you know, it's really, you can see the landscape is growing, the youth movement.
I see kids, you know, the Millers and the Crumplers who I've coached, I see them, you know, and talk to their parents, and that's what they do. All right, guys. Matt, thank you so much for spending so much time with us today. A lot of great information. We'll have you back as we get closer to the states, find out who's going to go forward, who we can look forward to going on and on and on. As I said, Countdown to Kickoff is up next. Thanks for listening. Go Bills!
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.